The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm your guest host today, Shane Granger, filling in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Fleury, who is making his way back to England from Jerusalem. And Mr. Fleury attended the grand opening ceremony there in Jerusalem yesterday at the King David Hotel of our exhibit Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. And, of course, we had a wonderful day here in Edmond as well, simultaneous celebrations on two continents. Here in Edmond, Oklahoma, as well as in Jerusalem. So for those of you who don't know me, again, my name is Shane Granger, and I am the Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation. I also serve as the front of house manager for the Armstrong Auditorium. And what a day we had at Armstrong Auditorium yesterday. Just a spectacular day, beautiful weather, and the grand opening of the exhibit Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. We had just over 500 guests attending. I think the final ticket count was about 461. And then you add 70, 75 staff that were there serving those people as well. So well over 500 people attending. There were speeches from Jerusalem as well as here in Edmond, as well as a lot of really delicious food. And the exhibit, of course, was open to the public for the first time. And lots of visitors there. I think overall probably about 70 to 75 people from the community and parts all over the country. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. And then the balance being, of course, the members of the Philadelphia Church of God who came to celebrate the grand opening of the exhibit here. Of course, the Philadelphia Church of God sponsors this radio program that you're listening to now, as well as the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation and Herbert W. Armstrong College. And so on today's program, I'd like to share with you some of the highlights of yesterday's big event here in Edmond. And then a little later in the program, we'll also focus on the people's reaction to the exhibit and to the grand opening. We'll hear a few clips of folks who came from far and wide to celebrate with us. And hopefully some of you, of course, were able to watch that online at the live stream. But if you didn't, we'll bring some of those highlights to you here today. And then also a little later in the program, if we have time, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation. What is it? What is its mission? And what are its activities? And there are many activities that the foundation undertakes, and so we'll hopefully have some time to get into that as well. Well, for those of you who are just hearing about this exhibit, the Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered is an archaeological exhibit focusing primarily on the two seals that were discovered by Dr. Elat Mazar in Jerusalem on the Ophel, and it focuses on those two seals, also known as Bulla. And they have some incredible history behind them. And so we've talked quite a bit here on the radio program. I know multiple presenters have talked quite a bit about the bulla and their significance and so forth. So I don't want to get into that too much. But certainly you need to know that these two artifacts are unique. They're rare and really spectacular. They made international headlines when they were announced that they had been discovered. And then, of course, as well, we now have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to come and see these artifacts in the flesh. They are on display in the grand lobby of Armstrong Auditorium and will be there on display through August the 19th. And I know that we have several tours scheduled even today of people coming to see that. I know we've got one group that's coming on a tour bus, about 60 people this afternoon. As well as another group coming this morning from, I believe it's the Jewish Federation of Oklahoma City, and they'll be bringing about 30 of their members to tour the exhibit. So already we're off and running with big tours and lots of excitement here in Edmond at the Armstrong Auditorium. So for the first segment here today, I'd like to talk about the key address that was given by the chairman of the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation, Gerald Fleury. And we did have speeches in Jerusalem yesterday from Deputy Minister Michael Oren, who's the former ambassador to the United States from Israel, also from Dr. Ilat Mazar, the archaeologist who discovered these bullae. But in Edmond here, we had the keynote address from the chairman of the foundation, Gerald Fleury, and he spoke specifically about these two clay seals, the seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah. And the title or the subject of his address was Let the Stones Speak. Let the Stones Speak. And Mr. Fleury really gave a fantastic message, and I want to play that for you today. And so here in the first segment, I'll just set this up by mentioning that as he began, he brought up on a slide there on a video screen in the auditorium, and it displayed both the Hezekiah and the Isaiah bulla side by side. And then he transitioned into the Hezekiah bulla specifically and gave an image of that really highlighted some interesting features of that seal. And so you can, if you have a copy of the brochure, for those of you who were here yesterday, or if you've received a copy online, you can look at page 25 of the exhibit brochure, and it highlights these two features that Mr. Fleury is going to be talking about in his address. So we'll listen to the first half of that address now, and then we'll come back in the second segment and listen to the second half. So this is Gerald Fleury, chairman of the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation, speaking yesterday at Armstrong Auditorium. Let the Stones Speak, specifically about the Hezekiah and the Isaiah bulla.
Thank you very much. This is quite a wonderful day, and I was just really thrilled to hear Dr. Mazar speak. She's part of our family and really a lady of great character, and we've been honored to work with her for quite a long time. And also, it was good to hear from Dr. Michael Oren. And he is deputy director of the prime minister of Israel. This exhibit is really here is focused on the seals of Hezekiah and Isaiah. And we have a new brochure that I don't think has been handed out yet, but I helped to edit this new brochure. And I really only added one idea. And I said, well, look, Dr. Mazar has made this statement about let the stone speak. And I think that is a profound statement. And you heard Mr. Oren talk about the controversy in archaeology. And I think that if everybody would let those stones speak, that would help to unify us. And I would like to just give my view, and I'll speak on the subject and kind of a takeoff on what Dr. Mazar has been teaching us for a long, long time. And I'd like to speak, just say, let the stones of Hezekiah and Isaiah speak. And the more I've looked into this, I have to tell you, the more I have been inspired and filled with hope. And so I do have a different take on this in some ways. The reason this one is so much more fascinating, I think, than some of the others is that this, you have a king-prophet relationship. You really have these two men teamed together. And it's really the greatest partnership of king prophet since King David and Samuel. So I think that when you look at these two men and those seals were actually found in the very same strata of soil. I think that's appropriate because these men really worked closely together. But anyhow, you can see the seal, and there is a the sun, S-U-N, right in the center. And then there are wings at the side, and you'd have to, of course, first of all, you ask yourself, well, why would Hezekiah create a seal like that? Why would he do that? Now, he was a righteous king, and God was really impressed by him. He came into the temple of Solomon, and when he became king, it was full of filth, and he had to clean it out. And he had to make all kinds of repairs. He brought in priests and Levites and began to clean up and teach the message of God. And that really turned Judah around at that time. And it shortly after that, you can see that Judah faced a great crisis, and Hezekiah was a man who had weaknesses just like the rest of us. And he, you can see from the artifacts that he had a relationship with Egypt, and he formed that relationship because Sennacherib, the leader of a superpower at that time, was on a rampage, and so he wanted an alliance. Isaiah warned him against that. In this case, he didn't go along with Isaiah. So if you look at the whole picture, though, and I've studied into this more and more, you can see from bringing this all together that God was not happy with what Hezekiah was doing. And I think it was just a correction from God to allow Sennacherib and his giant army to come into Judah. And you can read in the brochure where he conquered 46 cities, fortified cities. I mean, they were powerful cities, and he conquered them all very shortly. And even then, he didn't seek Isaiah's advice as to what he should do. So he goes into the temple, gets all of the silver, and rips the gold off the doors and the pillars, and takes it or sends it to Sennacherib, hoping that he can buy protection by looking to a man. And that was a big mistake. This just encouraged Sennacherib to make his final move in Judah and go to Jerusalem and attack Jerusalem. At this time, Hezekiah, it says, I'll just paraphrase this in 2 Kings 19, he said, Hezekiah went up into the house of the Eternal. This was Solomon's temple, but it was also God's house. And that's a sobering understanding if you look at it from God's perspective. But anyhow, he spread that letter that Sennacherib had sent to him while he was going down to eliminate Egypt, and he was going to come back and attack Jerusalem. So he sent a letter to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah spread that letter out in the temple of God, in the house of God, and cried out to God. He wasn't thinking about giving any more wealth to anybody. He wasn't looking to Egypt. He was looking to God. And amazing things happened. Now, you can read these scriptures, and we have a lot of them in the new brochure that we'll give you. But God answered that prayer. And he gave Isaiah, the message to give to Hezekiah. So now Hezekiah was teamed with Isaiah once again. And it says in 2 Kings 19 and verse 6 that God said, I won't even let them shoot an arrow into Jerusalem. They won't even have one foot step inside of the city of Jerusalem. Now that was a prophecy for that time. Jerusalem was surrounded by an army of 185,000 soldiers. Nobody could enter. They couldn't leave. Jerusalem was ready to die. Now, when the amazing thing about this is, when the watchmen inside the city woke up one morning, shortly after all this, and they looked around and they saw 185,000, well, I guess they just estimated that, but anyhow, they saw all those soldiers were dead. They were dead. You talk about people being shocked, and of course the scripture says that one angel, or the angel, went in and destroyed the entire army. God said, I'm going to do it for my sake and David's sake, because God says they've taunted me. Sennacherib made fun of Judah's God to his great shame and chagrin. But when you think about what some of the fascinating information here is, there wasn't anything for Sennacherib to do but to turn around and go back the way he came in and go back to Nineveh in humiliation. And you can read in the brochure about Sennacherib's prisms. The Taylor prism talks about all this history. It was on Sennacherib's palace walls that he did this later. And in the history about Lachish, where he captured over 200 Jews, he had all that history on his walls and his prisms and other records called reliefs. And here's what you've already heard, but let me just emphasize this a little bit. He says, as for Hezekiah, this is the history that King Sennacherib wrote himself. And here's the conclusion. He says, as for Hezekiah, I shut him up like a caged bird in his royal city of Jerusalem. He shut him up like a caged bird. And that's the end of his history. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine what somebody would do if they read that history? They'd say, well, what happened to Jerusalem? Why end the history there? Well, Hezekiah knew he was shut up like a caged bird. And he knew that he'd gotten in trouble because, well, he didn't seek out his partner, Isaiah the prophet. Now that's amazing history to me, that here this historian, Sennacherib, just recorded all this history and he just left out that one night that changed everything for Jerusalem and Judah. Surely people would be aghast at looking at history like that. You can't always trust history. But I'll tell you, I believe, this is my personal view, I believe you can always trust the history of the Bible. And that's a hard lesson for mankind to learn, it seems. But after Sennacherib went back to Nineveh, sometime later, two of his sons killed him. And then they fled to Armenia, and another son became the king of Assyria. Now, I wonder why the sons killed him. Do you suppose it might have something to do with that one night where his army was just totally decimated, destroyed by one angel of God? Now, that impresses me. I've proven that Bible, and I'm impressed, and I'm moved, and I'm galvanized into a certain amount of action when I read this and study this.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Why? In a world of such awesome progress and advancement, is there so much violence and destruction? Something is missing from mankind's fund of knowledge. To learn more about what's wrong with knowledge production today, request What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind. Also request Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. There is hope for this dying world. Today, people live in constant fear of violence and crime from fellow man. But in the wonderful world tomorrow, the Bible says, none shall make them afraid. This advance good news of tomorrow is as certain as the rising of tomorrow's sun. Request both books today, What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind, and The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Did we mention all our literature is free? Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. I'm your guest host today, Shane Granger, filling in for Mr. Stephen Fleury, who, again, is traveling back to England from Jerusalem. If you're just tuning in, we're discussing the wonderful event held yesterday at the Armstrong Auditorium, the grand opening of the exhibit Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. And before the break, we heard the first half of the keynote address by the chairman of the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation, Mr. Gerald Fleury. And in that address, he was speaking on the topic of the Hezekiah and the Isaiah bulla. And, of course, that is the focus of this exhibit, the two stars of the show, if you will. And also, Mr. Fleury was mentioning an exhibit brochure in that segment. And I just wanted to mention that if you don't have a copy of that brochure, if you're in the Edmond, Oklahoma area, you can stop by the Armstrong Auditorium and pick up a copy. But if you're outside of Oklahoma, feel free to go to our website. It's called watchjerusalem.co.il. And you can request a copy of that brochure there. Here we're going now to listen to the second half of Mr. Fleury's address, where he, again, the subject is Let the Stones Speak. And he'll get into now more about this Hezekiah bulla in particular. So we'll hear now a clip two from Mr. Fleury's address from yesterday.
But here is Hezekiah and Isaiah. They left seals. Certainly Hezekiah, we know he did, because it was about the seal itself tells you that. But here's a tangible little seal, they're really quite small, or bulla, it's also called. And here is a seal that was created with the sun, S-U-N, and these wings. And what is that all about? Well, I'm going to have to move along fast here, but you can look at 2 Kings 20 and look yourself, and it says that Hezekiah was sick unto death. It's the same time all this was happening. I mean, God was really trying and testing him, and Hezekiah wept sore, it said, and he shed a lot of tears. He went to God, and God says, okay, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver Jerusalem. And Hezekiah said, well, what kind of a sign are you going to give me? And I mean, this takes a lot of faith just to discuss this sign, but in the end, he said he could move the sun. He could say, "Well, we'll move the sun forwards, or we'll move it backwards." And so he said, "Well, I'm not impressed by it going forwards, but I want you to move it backwards." And so he, on his sundial, that shadow moved back 10 degrees, and the sun moved backwards as a sign to the great Hezekiah that God was going to heal him. But it's right, a lot more than that, really. God not only healed Hezekiah, he healed Jerusalem, and he healed Judah. This is a powerful, powerful part of history, and I tell you, it really just kind of shakes the universe when you understand it, I believe. Now, this slide over there is, it reads, belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah. And then there's this S-U-N. S-U-N. Now, the Bible uses a lot of symbolism, and I'll just read you a few quickly. This is from the use of the sun and the use of the wings. Remember, this is the sun, and there are wings there. And Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, God is a sun, S-U-N, and a shield. And Psalm 91 and verse 4 says, under his wings you shall take refuge. Ezekiel 16, verse 8, I spread my wing over you. So again, the Bible interprets its own symbolism. That's the key, of course. Hezekiah made some serious mistakes, but I want to show you something. A verse in Malachi that I thought was just fascinating because it ties in with this very seal of Hezekiah. And I believe it speaks today with a thunderous voice. Malachi 4 and verse 2 says, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Well, I mean, that's the same symbolism really of this seal right up there. He's going to rise with healing in his wings. He healed Hezekiah. He healed Judah and Jerusalem, all of this is these wings are a symbol of God's protection. And you talk about some kind of an impressive sign. And here Malachi picks up on that and uses the same symbolism. This sun is going to have rise with wings that heal. That's a wonderful promise from God. Now, God added 15 years to his life, and look at what he did. Look at the miracles that he performed. Dr. Mazar says the design on Hezekiah's seal would have been created after the invasion of Assyria and Hezekiah's miraculous healing. And I absolutely agree with that. But why would Hezekiah create this this seal or this bulla? Why would he do that? Well, he surely wants us to remember his history with Isaiah. I mean, after all, we're talking about miracles that are just shaking the universe. I don't know how anybody could not be somewhat shattered by that marvelous truth. I just want to conclude with one short little point here that I think is electrifying. To finish the piece of the puzzle, just the last piece of the puzzle. If you look at the book of Isaiah, he personally warned Judah, but then he wrote a book, and he said it is for the time to come. You can read that in Isaiah 30 and verse 8, but if you look at the reference, it'll say in the Hebrew, it means the latter days. He wrote that book for the latter days, and here is what's so important about it. He includes the entire history of Hezekiah, repeated almost exactly word for word the way it was reported in 2 Kings. Why would Isaiah be so determined to repeat that history in his book that was for the latter days, which is that time when the Messiah is going to return, just before? There are many scriptures that tell you that. That isn't anything that I have come up with. But God repeats this history in Isaiah. Why? I mean, God wants us all to go back to that historical example and learn some of the great lessons of the entire Bible. And I mean, they are powerful lessons if you believe the Bible. And we do have a choice. And our faith can grow weak like it did with Hezekiah. And we make mistakes. And, well, we sin, don't we? But Hezekiah knew how to turn things around. And what an inspiring story that is. But Isaiah 51 and verse 16, I just want you to think about this. It says, God is going to plant the heavens, and that means the universe. He's going to plant the universe after the earth is blossoming like a rose. Then he's going on to the universe, and it's going to blossom like a rose. He's going to plant the universe. And a big part of that planning is the history of Hezekiah and Isaiah. Now, I think if you look at that combination and put them together, it's one of the most powerful examples in all the Bible. Two men, a king working with a prophet. What a combination. What miracles that are just astounding to us when we read about them, and even more so if we believe them, and I certainly do. But I think that we have to let the stones of Hezekiah and Isaiah speak, and I think they have a thundering voice of hope for any age, any time, but I think especially with this time we're living in now, where there's quite a lot of nuclear madness, as you see in the daily news already. But there is a phenomenal exhibit out there, and I hope you'll spend some time there. And I tell you, you're going to find it uplifting and inspiring. And I'll also say at this time, goodbye to all of you over in Jerusalem. We'll hope to see you soon.
The Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I'm your guest host today, Shane Granger, and we are listening to the keynote address, or just listened to the keynote address by the foundation chairman, Daryl Fleury, that was given yesterday at the Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond. And Mr. Fleury was discussing the seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah. And in the second half, he talked specifically about that seal of King Hezekiah and pointed out some very interesting detail that is on that seal, and talked about the sun disk and the downturned wings. But Mr. Fleury also said that Hezekiah knew how to turn things around. He was discussing how Hezekiah had gotten into, a lack of faith and was trusting in other countries for protection, like Egypt and so forth. And I think what's interesting about this is that this seal that Mr. Fleury was discussing with the sun disk and the downturned wings represents a change in the way that Hezekiah represented his royal seal and the way that his seal was designed. And while this is the first seal to be excavated in professional excavations, and again, this was found by Dr. Lotmazar over in Jerusalem on the Ophel, but there are several other seals belonging to King Hezekiah that have come to light on the antiquities market. And of course, this seal impression that was found in controlled scientific professional excavations is different from those other seals. It does give some legitimacy to the other antiquities market seals that belong to Hezekiah. And those seals have an image of a scarab beetle with a proud upturned wings rolling a sun disk. And, of course, that is a deeply Egyptian symbol. And as our brochure points out, it's a symbol of the creator god Khepri, the Egyptian god Khepri. And the prophet Isaiah warned against this Egyptian influence that was creeping into Judah prior to the Assyrian invasion. You can see that in Isaiah 30 and 31. And Hezekiah's scarab seals would certainly, fall into that category. And so here we see Hezekiah using seals that have deeply Egyptian symbols that are proud upturned wings at the same time that he's being warned by the prophet Isaiah, don't do that. Don't get involved with Egypt. And there are a number of other seals that are on jar handles that would have been marked as belonging to the king. These are known as LMLK handles, and we have some of these handles on display in this exhibit at the Armstrong Auditorium as well. But the interesting thing about this is that this bullet that was discovered by Dr. Mazar at the Ophel in this controlled scientific excavation represents a change in the design of the seal. The wings are no longer upturned, and there's no longer a beetle involved, deeply Egyptian symbols. Now there is a sundial and the downturned wings. And as you heard Mr. Gerald Fleury in that address, talk about that these were symbols that have a lot to do with God and his protection of his people. And so we can see here that there was a change or an about face in the Royal logo design. And so Dr. Mazar has summarized and said, well, look, based on this design, this seal can most probably best be attributed to the time directly after Assyria's invasion and Hezekiah's miraculous healing. And so this rare display of the sun with downturned wings indicates protection. And, of course, the sun, as Mr. Fleury mentioned there, there are scriptures that talk about God as a sun and a shield, Psalm 84, 11, and how that he will cover you with his feathers, Psalm 91, verse 4. But there's a change here. That's fascinating when you realize what actually happened. In other words, there are other seals out there of Hezekiah that don't represent this humility, that don't represent that he's come under God's protection. And so this just emphasizes the fact that, as Mr. Fleury said, that Hezekiah knew how to turn things around. And so when you look at this seal, and by the way, if you have a chance to come to the Armstrong Auditorium and see this in person, I have to tell you that Hezekiah bulla is fascinating. You can literally see, it's very small, about 1 centimeter wide, about the size of a shirt button, but you can literally see the wings and the sun on it. It's very clear, even with the naked eye. Now, we have a magnifying glass there available that you can use to inspect these a little bit further. And, of course, we have very detailed photographs that give you a better look. But that's a fascinating story. And then if you look at the other handles that have Hezekiah's seal impression on them as well, that were on the pottery and things that belong to the king, they, too, have this same image of a two-winged sun, downturned wings, a sun with rays coming out of it, again indicating that this was in the latter part of Hezekiah's reign when he was working closely and listening to God's prophet Isaiah and coming under God's protection. And, of course, he was healed of a sickness and God added to his life and so forth. So that's really fascinating to think about. All of that, by the way, again, is in our brochure on the exhibit. It's available at the Armstrong Auditorium if you have a chance to visit. You can pick up a copy there. If not, you can go to our website, watchjerusalem.co.il, and there's a link there where you can go and look at the exhibit and request a copy of the brochure. So be sure and request a copy there through the website. If you don't have one, we'll be happy to mail one to you free of charge. And then also, if you would like to hear Mr. Fleury's address again, if you missed part of that on our broadcast here today, you can go to the website as well, watchjerusalem.co.il, and there are videos there posted of the addresses that were given yesterday at the auditorium. Now, Mr. Stephen Fleury will be back with you again tomorrow, as I understand it, and he'll be talking about what happened in Jerusalem and giving you the play-by-play of everything that was taking place there, so you can look forward to that. I'd like to spend just a few minutes here talking about some of the unique things that were taking place here at the Armstrong Auditorium yesterday at the opening of the exhibit. One of the things that is really fascinating to me, and having been involved in this putting together the exhibit, and you know, I had a small part to play, and there were many, many people who were working on this. But the thing that fascinates me about this is that we had literally very, very little time to put this together. We got a call from the Antiquities Authority, Mr. Brad McDonald did, and who's the curator of the exhibit. And we found out that, hey, we're going to get these seals. The Israeli Antiquities Authority is going to be giving those to us for display. And they had a timeline, and it was very short. And so I remember when I received a call from Mr. McDonald about putting the exhibit on, I looked at my calendar, and I believe at that time we had 7 weeks before the opening. And I thought to myself, well, 7 weeks, that's not a lot of time to put something like this together, an extremely complex process here. But nevertheless, God gave us the blessing of organization, and everybody did their part, and many, many departments pulled together to make this happen, from maintenance and just the physical setup of the exhibit to the publishing department getting involved and helping with all of the editing of the text and so forth, putting together the brochure. We also, thankfully, because we had had a relationship with vendors in the previous exhibit that we hosted on Jeremiah's captors, we were able to contact those vendors again, and they were able to jump in and help with that. So we had just excellent help from people all around. But it was a monumental effort to pull this off in just 7 weeks' time. And when people arrived yesterday, the beautiful thing about this from my perspective was, I think it was Wednesday afternoon. By the time we got to Wednesday afternoon, end of day, we were pretty much done. The exhibit was ready. There were a few signs that had to be updated, and little things that you have to tweak. But for the most part, by Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening, we were finished. And so all day Thursday and Friday, I kept thinking, well, I kept looking at my to-do list and all the things that I had put together, and everything was crossed off. I thought, well, man, this is a fantastic position to be in, that we're ready, 3 days early for this exhibit. And so that just gave us the time to go through and really fine-tune everything and just make sure that everybody was ready to go. And so yesterday, as the guests began arriving, we were able to hand out to them a program, but also we had a small replica of the Isaiah and the Hezekiah bulla that one of our local members here, Mrs. Mary Stewart, put together. She is a very creative person and loves arts and crafts, and we had an event back earlier in the spring, and she had made some of these seals just out of her own artistic eye. Made an impression and then was able to push that into some clay and bake it, and then it just turned out beautifully. And these were about the size of a quarter, not tiny like the seals of Isaiah and Hezekiah are. But nevertheless, it was a representation of that. And so she offered to make those, and we gave those away as gifts. We're not selling them, but gave those as gifts. So as people walked into the auditorium, we were able to hand them a seal, and had a little magnet on the back so they can stick that up on the fridge and enjoy that for some time to come. So that was a fun gift that was given out to folks. And then we also had, in addition to the brochure that I mentioned before, we also had a very nice gift from the folks at Biblical Archaeology Review magazine. They sent us 1,000 copies of the, I believe it's the May-June issue, or it may have been, let's see, yeah, May-June issue, that announced the Isaiah bulla. And so we were able to give copies of that magazine out to everyone who came to the exhibit opening yesterday. And that was a nice gift, and people were able to take that with them as well. And so then we had, of course, the exhibit. And so what I'd like to do now is move into a portion of just some feedback that we got from people from the exhibit. We had people who traveled from many locations. I met four people who came from Florida, and they saw the article in the Jerusalem Post last week and saw that this exhibit was opening here in Oklahoma, and they said, hey, we've got to be there. So they got in the car and drove from Florida all the way up here. This man has been to Jerusalem, he said, about 50 times, has a huge collection of artifacts personally that he enjoys, and he's a lover of archaeology and biblical archaeology. And so he and his wife and another couple came here from Florida. I also met another family from Houston, and they are subscribers to the Biblical Archaeology Review magazine, and saw our advertisement in the email there, and decided to pack up the kids and come this way. So people came from far and wide, and we've got a couple of clips here that I'd like to play for you of folks who visited yesterday. And this couple came from Wichita, and we had a chance to interview them and get some of their reactions to everything. So this will be the clip one from Wichita, this couple that was interviewed. By the way, this is our one of our AC students here, Julia Goddard, who's doing the interviewing. So you'll hear her ask a question, and then they'll answer those questions. So we'll listen to that now.
I'm a subscriber to Biblical Archaeology Review, and I saw the latest edition, the page that described the exhibit, and we live in Wichita, which is not too far away, so thought it'd be a good opportunity to come down and see it.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes, from all over the
it's amazing to see. You see, like I said, I'm a subscriber to Biblical Archaeology Review, and you see in the pages all of the things that the archaeologists are digging up, and to see them firsthand right in front of you, it's a different experience. It's amazing how it brings the Bible to life.
And I think you've seen the bulla. What were your reactions to seeing the bulla firsthand?
It's a lot smaller than I expected, but it's really cool just to, you read about these people in the Bible and history and stuff, but to see something that was actually theirs and that they touched and that they, they had, it's really cool to see it now and today, and it's been so much time's passed, but it's still amazing to be able to see that now.
Quite impressive.
And we have the replica, the section of Hezekiah's tunnel. Have you been through that yet?
Yeah, we went through that.
What was your reaction to that?
It's rather claustrophobic. It's a small tunnel. The workers that were cutting that out, I hope they were small, because it's very confining. But it's fascinating to see. We've heard about Hezekiah's tunnel, too, and see the replica of what it would have looked like, life size. It's interesting.
And if you're going to describe or recommend coming to
Oh, yeah, if anybody has opportunity to come see it, I would definitely recommend they come see it. It's just like I said before, it's amazing to see the stuff right in front of you live, not just on the pages of a magazine, not just on a video, but to see it right in front of you and to understand that these were made thousands of years ago. And like she was saying with the bulla, so many people say that, the Jewish people were not in the Holy Land, and it wasn't. It's a recent event, them coming into the Holy Land. Evidence is overwhelming. When you see Hezekiah's bulla, and you see the one that, I think there's enough proof to say that it's Isaiah's bulla also. We live by faith. We don't need the tangible in front of us, but it's fascinating to see the history dug up from many centuries ago, proving out that this is the Jewish homeland.
Okay, well, there you have it. There's some comments from a couple who visited the grand opening ceremony yesterday at Armstrong Auditorium from Wichita, Kansas. And a couple of things I'll mention there. They were talking about the tunnel, the Hezekiah's tunnel. And so we do have a 10-foot section, about 3-meter section of Hezekiah's tunnel that was made. And we had our folks in Jerusalem scan the actual tunnel in Jerusalem and then send that data over here. And then this tunnel was crafted by a company here in Oklahoma City to be a near exact replica. And so folks were able to walk through that yesterday and to enjoy that as well. I've got another clip coming up here in just a second that I'll let you hear about a reaction to the tunnel. But before I get to that, I just also mentioned you might have also heard in the background there some music playing. We did have a trio of our Imperial Academy students who played some beautiful music there in the lobby of Armstrong Auditorium. So they were participating in the day as well, and providing the background music for the auditorium. So next I want to play you a clip from a young person. This young man is a local here, and this was his reaction to Hezekiah's tunnel. So just a short clip. This is Aiden.
I like the tunnel. I was expecting it just to be like a wall with like blue to be the wattle, but it's much more realistic.
All right, so there Aiden's saying, well, look, I was just expecting a wall with some blue paint on the floor, but wow, this was much more realistic. So he obviously enjoyed that. And then we have another clip here from a young viewer, a visitor to the exhibit yesterday. And I think this is a great one to kind of wrap up the show with. This is a little Jenny, a kindergarten age little girl. And listen to this interview. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Jenny, what did you think of the exhibit?
It was pretty.
It was pretty? Did you go through the tunnel?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
I saw the little lamps, and it was really dark in there.
Would you want to visit the real tunnel someday?
Yes.
Yeah? Did you like seeing the bulla? Did you get to see them?
I did.
What did you think of them?
It was pretty.
Pretty. Okay, and if you had to tell all of your friends about coming here, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it's so pretty, and you get to go through the tunnel and see all of those little lanterns.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
All right. Well, hopefully you could hear that. Little Jenny was just saying how pretty everything was, and she seemed to really enjoy that. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, so we'll wrap this up. I just wanted to say as well before we finish that we have to give a great amount of thanks to our Herbert W. Armstrong College Food Services Department. Mr. and Mrs. John Krueger and their staff did a phenomenal job yesterday feeding over 500 people. And we got many, many comments from visitors about just how fantastic the food was. So we really want to say thank you to them and all their hard work. I know they were up late Saturday night and then in the kitchen at 5 a.m. yesterday morning preparing all that delicious food. So the food, the speeches, the exhibit, everything was great. And if you have a chance, please come and visit Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered right here at Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma. That's all the time we have for today. I'm your guest host, Shane Granger. Your regular host, Stephen Fleury, will be back with you tomorrow. Until then, keep on traveling, and thank you for listening.